Hello, friends, and welcome to Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live today from beautiful Mount Shasta, California, which, in my opinion, is one of the world's most spiritual places. Today's broadcast is being transmitted simultaneously by Skype to the studios back at KKNW on 1150 AM in Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place. And I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a better place. I want to thank everyone so much for listening today and making Out of This World Radio one of the most popular talk shows in the Seattle area with over 250,000 listeners in over 90 countries. And I just want to thank everyone so much for their beautiful support. I've been camping during the past week with a small group right on Mount Shasta next to the several entrances to Telos and the Hollow Earth. We've already experienced some really amazing and fantastic miracle healings, which we'll be sharing with everyone today. One lady named Patty actually saw Telosians from her campsite walking into entrance to Telos last night, and I've got her interview, which I'll be playing in a few minutes, and she's also with me here in the audience. I'm broadcasting from Mount Shasta. She may want to add something. I don't know. But then from 3 to 3:15 today, I'll be talking about my upcoming trip to Machu Picchu in Peru in January and February 2020. I have been told also that while I'm at Machu Picchu in Peru in January, that I will be physically going into Telos there as well. So if you are interested in coming into Telos, into the Hollow Earth from Machu Picchu, please send me an email to outoftheworld1150@gmail.com. Finally, from 3:15 to 4 p.m., my good friend QAnon will be coming on the show. He's always interesting, and I think he's got some incredibly interesting updates about what's happening now in the rest of the United States, especially with President Trump. I'd like to thank the many sponsors of this show, especially Corey and Saul and Kirkland for their wonderful support. I want to especially thank them for their fantastic support for a new library for the Hopi Indians in Arizona. There's 18,000 people among the Hopis in Arizona, and they don't have a functioning library. So I've been raising funds for that, as well as books. And also I want to thank Minotti from New Jersey, who just sent me another package of books, wonderful spiritual books for this new library for the Hopi. I also want to thank my good friends Mary and Elias in Costa Rica, Bradley and Jim in London, England, Jan Erik and Emma Louise in Norway, and everyone around the world who helped me raise consciousness and make this world a better place. We're also looking for sponsors and advertisers for the show. Any advertising on the program will have a worldwide audience for your goods and services. With that, I'd like to thank my dear friend Carol, who's been designing my website and providing wonderful support, my friends in the Galactic Alliance who've been supporting my show, my angelic and earthly family, of course, and of course Eric at KKNW, who's been wanting to give me so many years of wonderful support. I have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides. If you'd like to get in touch with your loved ones and who've passed on, or contact your guides and get some good spiritual advice, please send me an email to outoftheworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me here in the United States on my cell at 509-750-9793. I want to thank everyone. Also, thanks so much for their support for clean water for both the Hopi and Navajo Indians. For over 70 years, both tribes have been drinking carcinic and radioactive contaminated water, with the result that their longevity rates have only been maybe in the 40s or 50s, if that, because they die early from cancer and arsenic contamination. But this is now changing. Last year, we were able to fundraise over $30,000 for new clean water filters for the Hopi. And we're still continuing our efforts. For only $125, you can get a new clean water filter to give the gift of clean water that's radiation-free and arsenic-free to a Hopi or Navajo family. The manufacturer of these clean water filters are supplying these filters to the Hopi and Navajo at their cost, and 100% of all monies go directly to these beautiful people. If you're interested in donating, making a tax-deductible contribution to the Clean Water Foundation of Washington, please send me an email to outoftheworld1150@gmail.com or call me here in the United States at 509-750-9793. Finally, I'd like to ask everyone to please say lots of prayers for the Amazon. The Amazon produces 20% of the world's oxygen. It's still a problem, and I know that If we send lots of love and light to the Amazon and ask the Galactic Alliance to come in and help us, that they will intervene and stop the fires from destroying this precious resource we have on our planet. Finally, my next Galactic Wisdom Conference will be March 13th, 14th, and 15th, 2020. I hope you can all come. For more information, please see our website at galacticwisdomconference.com. If you register before December 31st, you'll save up to 30 to 40% off the regular registration price. And for those of you coming in from Europe, there are some very good deals right now for only about $400 round trip from Europe in the UK all the way to Seattle for the conference. Among the people there will be Simon Parks, James Redfield will be there in person, as well as Alex Collier, a famous contactee from the Andromeda Galaxy, and Mitch Kohayashi, of course, from the Moto Peace Project. With that, I'd like to talk a little bit about my Shasta trip, and I'd like to start off the first part here and to play it's a short interview with a wonderful lady named Linda from Quebec in Canada, where she had a torn ligament in her leg since June. And she experienced a miracle healing yesterday where her tendon, she had a torn ligament in her leg or in her foot, and it was completely healed within a few minutes after doing prayers and meditation at Ascension Rock yesterday. So, Eric, let's play that first. That's about 2 minutes, 33 seconds. And then after that, I'm going to play Carol's eyewitness account of seeing Telosians walk into Telos from where she was camped last night. So we could play those. That's going to run a little over 5 minutes. Thank you, Eric, so much.
Hello, friends. I'm here at the Red Fur Flat Campground at Mount Shasta in Northern California, and we had a miracle healing yesterday. Wonderful lady named Linda came. Her ligaments were completely torn yesterday before she came, and she did a prayer healing with all of us here in the group, and suddenly her ligaments were completely healed. Could you tell us a little bit about what happened?
Okay, a few months ago, in July, I have an accident, and I cut the two tendons of my tail, and I have so pain in my tail all the time. And yesterday, during the meditation, I have my tail stretch with my feet. Stretch, and after they said, poof, and after I don't have a pain after that, and I can't
squeeze
my tail. My tail. I'm sorry, I'm French.
Sorry.
Okay, and I didn't do that before. That's what happened yesterday.
Gosh, I'm so happy. I'm so happy for you. So now you can walk with your toe around and feet and not have any pain.
Yes, it's true. It's like that. Yes.
Great.
Yeah, thank you for that.
Oh, my pleasure. So go ahead. And here's Bruno.
So what she felt is during the meditation, it actually like stretched the tendon. She felt it stretching between the toe up all the way up to her knee. And the stretch, and just like a rubber, you let it go, and she felt like almost like a rubber doing a boom, going back to space. And then the pain was gone, and now she has free movement of her toe.
Yes, it's true. Thank you.
I know myself, I was in a lot of pain when I came down to Shasta. I had I had some jaw problems from some recent dental work, and I was in excruciating pain, and today, now, most of the pain is gone. They've healed me.
Oh, it's the same thing.
The same thing, yeah.
Yes.
The same thing.
Yeah.
The same thing.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Linda, for sharing your story.
Thank you.
Hello, friends. I'm at beautiful Mount Shasta, and a lovely lady named Patty who had an incredible experience here last night. Patty, go ahead and tell us, if you like, about what happened.
Okay, so I was laying in my truck looking out the window, and I could see people walking in like a line right there going towards that tree. And there was like a glowy, like, you know, a glowy person or something right there. And then there was one up there and one over there. And then they just kept walking, and I don't know what they were doing, but it was just, I don't know what they were doing.
Did they have white robes on?
Only one person. had a white robe on.
Okay.
And that was the tall person.
I see.
And, but there was three guys that stood right here.
Mm-hmm.
Just right there. And then the other people just kept walking in, and there ended up being like three rows of people. Mm. And that's what I saw.
Interesting. Interesting.
And I did see some little deer, though. But they were different kind of deer. They were little, a lot of antlers. I don't know if that was when I first woke up. That could have been something.
I see. Okay.
And then we had, like, this on our truck,
oh.
Like, for about an hour, like, on and off.
That you had knocks on your truck, huh?
Yeah, they were, I don't know what they were doing, but that's what it sounded like for a long time. And then they'd stop, and then they'd do it again, and then they'd stop and do it again
yeah.
for about an hour.
Yeah, you either had some Sasquatch or Talosian children having fun with you
yeah.
last night.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking, because the little footprint that we saw was a little footprint.
Yeah, and the white-robed individual was likely from Telos, you saw.
Yeah.
Having some, because you're right next to an entrance to Telos.
Oh, okay.
This is an entrance to Telos right there. Those rocks are an entrance. They open up and go right into Telos.
Oh. Well, see, I didn't see him. I mean, I couldn't tell. It just seemed like there was three rows of people,
mm-hmm.
and there was a lot of them. To me.
Okay. Now, this morning when you woke up, what did you see? You see a path there? Or?
Yeah, there was a path. I showed him where I looked out the window and where you could see it. You could see a path, and it just kind of went up between those trees right there.
I see. Okay.
And then that's where another glowy thing was. There was a glowy person right there, and then up there, and then over there.
All right. Have you seen them before?
No.
Okay. I have a feeling you'll be seeing them again tonight.
Yeah, that's what I said. I said, I want to take a nap during the day and stay up tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think you'll be getting an invitation to go into Telos as well tonight.
Oh, that would be interesting.
So just be prepared.
Okay.
Yeah.
I could do that.
Yeah. Patty, thank you so much for sharing that wonderful story.
You're welcome. And thanks for being nice every time I hear you.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure.
That was an amazing story of seeing the Talosians from her campsite last night. The other thing that happened, too, was that we have a Tibetan Lama on the trip from Tibet. And he discovered the home of a young female Sasquatch. And I've got pictures. I'll be putting it on the web early next week. But it's an amazing place, and I joked with him. I said, "Well, looks like you've got a new girlfriend," and because she showed him where it was, and I had the feeling that she wanted him to visit, but he's kind of shy and decided to stay with the regular camp. But I told him it's okay, if he wants to go spend a night somewhere else away from camp, that's fine. But anyway, so I'll have those pictures up on the website early next week. But there are all kinds of Sasquatch up there. In July, what we had happen is that a lot of our food was taken by a juvenile Sasquatch, but that's all calmed down now. I have a friend named Kieran Quinn. I'll bring him on in a few minutes, and he's been in charge of making cinnamon rolls for the Sasquatch. So, they do like cinnamon rolls, especially the white frosted ones. But it's hard to get the right quality. If they're burned, they won't eat them. They're quite finicky. You can't use GMO products in the cinnamon rolls because they just want natural cinnamon rolls. But it's okay. I don't blame them. I don't eat GMO food products anyway. So, Quinn, why don't you come up and you can tell us a little bit about your experiences here with the cinnamon rolls with the Sasquatch. Here you go.
Hi, everybody. So I was making cinnamon rolls late at night, and basically I put it near my campsite on a stump. As soon as I placed it, I heard a little yelp and stuff like that. So I just waited. Nothing happened. I heard a little running around, yelping, but that's about it. But yeah, you can definitely feel the energy around them coming around your tent and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great. Were you able to see any Sasquatch today? I mean,
no, they're really quick. Or you can hear them, but it's really hard to see them.
Okay.
They're really quick.
Okay. All right. Now I saw a bunch of UFOs last night. Did you see them last night?
No, I went to bed pretty early.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. All right. Any other experiences you want to share?
When I was meditating with the group
right.
up at the rock,
right.
I did see an X, but it only came for like a second and then it popped out. And then I saw like a symbol, but I didn't really catch what the symbol was
uh-huh.
for a second during the meditation. Okay. But yeah.
Okay.
That's about it so far.
A lot of times those symbols you described to me are the symbols that they show you just before you enter into Telos. Before they actually appear on the rocks, and they appear on the rocks, it crosses the circles just before you go into Telos, and those symbols occur, then you're able to walk in after that.
Wow. Yeah, I did kind of see, like, when you first showed me, like, the rock, I kind of did see markings, but not, it only stayed there for, like, a second, and then it went away.
Okay.
But, yeah, I hopefully can get in there pretty soon, so mm-hmm. it'd be pretty nice to meet the High Priestess and all that stuff. Yeah.
Okay. Good. Good, Quinn. Well, I'll tell you what. When you have some more amazing experiences, just let me know, and I'll record you, and then we can play it on next week's show.
For sure. Sounds good.
Okay. Great. Okay. Thanks, Quinn, so much for sharing that.
No problem.
Yeah. Quinn's with me from beautiful Vancouver, Canada, and he's just had a bunch of amazing experiences. We also had. I also saw my good friend. Pleiadian Admiral Hilarion last night. I saw his ship, and when we drove down night before last, I had quite a bit of pain in my jaw. I had some dental work done recently in India, and the fillings needed adjustment because they were just a little too large for my teeth. So I finally got remedial work done on those. But then when I got down here, I still had some residual pain from the from the fillings, and so I have taken some painkillers according to a dentist I saw who's been helping me out, but the pain now is just about 99% gone. And I asked them for a miracle healing the other night because I was in quite a bit of pain, and they did it for me, and it happened after we all meditated at Ascension Rock yesterday. What we do is that there's several different entrances to Telos and the Hollow Earth at the place where we camp on Mount Shasta. And whenever we camp there, we always do a joint meditation and a healing for everybody. And so when we do that, what happens is that they all come in and we experience several different healings. I know last month in early September, we had a lady named Iva who had Lyme disease for the past... wow, I think 20 or 25 years. And she was given a miracle healing where the Lyme disease just disappeared within 30 minutes after doing prayers and meditation at Ascension Rock. A year ago, in September of 2018, I myself had blurry farsighted vision in my right eye. I had like 20/50 vision in my right eye, and it was spontaneously healed one night and restored to 20/10 crystal clear vision in both eyes, which I have in both eyes now. So I will be going back again next year. The dates will be July 1st through July 8th, 2020, and again from August 27th through September 3rd. If you'd like to come, please send me an email to outofthisworld at 1150 at gmail.com. One of the things we see always when we're camped out there are UFOs, and they're all benevolent UFOs. The one I saw last night was from Pleiadian Admiral Hilarion. There are something like over 2 million ships from the Pleiades circling the planet right now. And his Admiral Hilarion is in charge of all those ships right now circling the planet. They've been here since November, and they are very distinctive looking. When you look up in the sky, they look like they have like four dots of a rectangle in the sky, and his ship is always the brightest one there. And it's funny, but when we contact him telepathically and ask him to move to the left, he moves to the left. If we ask him to move to the right, he moves to the right, up, he moves up, and then down, back and forth. And in July, when we after doing this for about 10 minutes or so, everybody did, we were having quite a bit of fun. He suddenly leaned himself down, and we could see him just outside the campfire in ephemeral, in the kind of, he was in the fifth dimension, but you could see his image in this shimmering kind of glow in his uniform. And we all had a good conversation with him. He said that he'd been there for about 6 years, and he'll be here. He and his crew will be here until we finish, the Earth has ascended into the fifth dimension. He also said that Mount Shasta will be shifting into the fifth dimension by July of next year. Now, this is speeded up. This is really speeded up from when it was originally. Originally, it was going to be in December of next year, and before that, it was going to be 2025, then 2028, and before that, it was going to be 2038, according to Nostradamus. But our ascension now has really speeded up, and you're going to see things very, very different here in the coming year. Evil, as an experiment on planet Earth, is ending, and a lot of negative entities are exiting, and they're not going to be able to stay here because the planet itself, it's the vibration, is going to be shifting rapidly. One of the questions I asked was what would it be like, for example, if you drove, for example, from San Francisco to Mount Shasta next July, and let's say Mount Shasta's in the fifth dimension and San Francisco's still stuck in the third dimension. Well, you would experience of course, you'd have to fill up for gas, of course, in San Francisco, and it's about 4.5-5 hours from San Francisco to Shasta. So you'd fill up for gas, you'd drive like you normally would on the freeway, and of course you'd get it. But when you started getting closer to Shasta, you would experience the distortion of reality, and you'd almost feel like you were floating in time and space. When you finally got to Shasta, you would be in the fifth dimension, where you really wouldn't need to communicate using language. You would be able to communicate telepathically with the occupants of the vehicle, as well as anyone that you meet in Shasta City itself. I don't know how this is all going to work, but it's going to cause quite a disruption in your reality. And it's something that I myself have waited 52,000 years to come to. So it's going to be a very different kind of world. Eventually, the entire planet is going to be shifting into the fifth dimension. So it won't be so unusual. But during this transition period, you're going to encounter some very different realities that you've never encountered before. People don't realize it, but the most exciting show on the entire universe right now is Planet Earth. All eyes are on planet Earth, and there are many extraterrestrial, benevolent and non-benevolent civilizations watching us right now. The benevolents, of course, are cheering us on so that we make the right decisions and we do create a much better and happier world. But I'm looking forward to it. This is an amazing time to be alive here on Earth. And we've all chosen to be here. I myself have been here 52,000 years. It's a long time. But I've waited a long time for this event to occur, and now it's happening. And it's happening because all of you listening today have made the right choices to make this planet a better and happier place. And because you have, the ascension process is moving much faster than it was originally forecast to be. Back in, for example, 1986, 87, 88, Dolores Cannon wrote a series of books called Conversations with Nostradamus. And in those books, Nostradamus had told her that this shift into the fifth dimension would not happen until the year 2038. Well, 2038 is still quite a ways off right now. That's about, 19 years off? So we've been able, through our own choices, change the clock, if you will, and change the timeline to a much more positive timeline and a much faster timeline than what we had back in the late 80s. Back in the late 80s, Nostradamus had predicted a third world war starting in Bosnia-Herzegovina and spreading to the United States, with many U.S. cities in rubble and destroyed by nuclear bombs by the year 2005. Well, it's now 2018. We're still alive. The cities are still intact. We have our challenges, of course, but they're still intact, and there's been no nuclear war, at least here on the U.S. soil. And that's all good news, because everything has speeded up so rapidly. I know that QAnon, who will be coming on during my next hour, has quite a bit to say about what's happening in the world right now. But things have changed, and so if anyone were to tell you that that there's a third world war ahead of us and there's Armageddon ahead of us, don't believe them for 1 minute, because we have a beautiful, bright future ahead of us. And if you have children, our children are going to experience the kind of amazing wonder world of technology that and spiritual growth that we only dreamed about. Out as adults. So it's going to be an amazing time to be here, it's a time that I've waited a long time for, and many people have waited as well. The one other thing that's going to happen, and Zora the Hollow Earth told me this here a few months ago. He said that as Mount Shasta flips into the fifth dimension, the people of Talos and the Hollow Earth will flip from the fifth dimension into the sixth dimension, and there will be a dimensional shift up and down the ladder by one dimension, all the way up the all the way up the ladder. And currently there are 12 dimensions, with the 12th dimension being with the 12th dimension being God or the supreme being who created all of this. From what Zora has told me, that 12th dimension will actually shift into the 13th. So it's an amazing time. Excuse me, it's an amazing time to be alive, and I'm so happy you're all part of that. If you are in the California area and if you'd like to join our group, we're going to be here through Monday. Just give me a call at 509-750-9793, and you're welcome to join us if you like. Also too, I want to tell you that there's various other places around the planet, of course, to go into the Hollow Earth, and one of those, of course, is through Machu Picchu in Peru. This will be my fourth or fifth time to Machu Picchu. It's such an amazing place. It's a place I never get tired of. The ancient Inca were actually a fourth dimensional civilization. And they were part of Agartha, the Agartha network, and that energy is still there. So when you do visit Machu Picchu and you visit the sacred valley in Peru, you pick up a lot of really wonderful positive energy through that area. And if you come along on the trip to Peru, it's an amazing place, and you'll feel the positive energy. When I'm here at Mount Shasta as well, you feel a lot of really good positive energy here as well, just because you've got that same Lemurian energy here that's everywhere. And after being here for a couple of days, you feel like you're floating in another dimension, in a higher dimension. And I wanted to ask if you could come up again. I want to ask a couple of follow-up questions. She's here in the audience. It's Patty, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, hi Patty. Thanks so much for coming on again. I was going to ask you, tell me, have you had any experiences like this before at all?
No, I really haven't.
Okay.
No.
Okay. If I don't mind me asking, what drew you and your husband here to Mount Shasta?
Oh, my friend Robert. He was listening to you talk to somebody else, and he really felt something, and then he just kept deciding when to go. So I've been listening to all your programs, which are very interesting. Yeah, I've enjoyed every single one of them.
Oh, good. Well, yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that so much. You know, what time was it when you saw the Talosians last night?
You know, I was trying to figure that out, and I don't have a clue. We went to bed kind of early, too, but I just was up all night almost. I just kept nodding off and coming back, but... Excuse me. So I was thinking it was around midnight about. Because it wasn't this morning, so it was still last night. So
yeah. It would have been, it was at a time when normally people on this earth plane are asleep, right?
Yes, okay. Definitely. Okay. I should have been asleep.
Yeah.
But I didn't have that big of a spot to sleep, so.
Right,
yeah,
right.
I was having a hard time, so.
Yeah. And then the next morning you saw a path, is that right? Right, in the dirt?
Well, I wanted to see what I was seeing, you know, so I was looking and there was like a path going right where I was seeing it, so
yeah.
I totally believed myself.
Sure, right, yeah.
Yeah. And then we saw a couple little footprints by the truck where we heard the little tapping.
Okay.
Yeah.
A lot of times the Talosian children will come out and they'll play games with you.
Yeah.
They'll knock on your vehicle or knock in your tent. Yeah. And they're just playing.
Well, the tent, the cover that I know couldn't have came off because there was no wind, was all pulled back this morning.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, they were teasing, all right.
Okay, they were teasing. They liked your energy, and they wanted to have a little fun with you.
Yeah. Yeah, that was nice.
Yeah.
Nice of them.
A lot of times, if you put out crystals at different, like, portals to the Hollow Earth, the little Talosian children will take a crystal or two.
Oh, okay.
But people, you know, you can't get upset with them.
No.
They have fun with it. And just, if it's just look at it as a gift, if that happens, you know.
Okay, I will.
Yeah.
I'll put one out on purpose then.
Yeah, you can put one out on purpose. And then if it's gone the next day, just say, you know, that's fine. You know, sometimes the Sasquatch too.
Which ones do they like? Do you know?
They like the clear quartz crystals. Oh, I know what the Talosian kids, they like the clear quartz crystals. So a little quartz crystal would go a long way with
them.
They love those. Now the Sasquatch like the clear. They like the rose quartz crystals.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because I was there last year. They actually built a peace mandala made up of clear quartz crystals, and the clear quartz crystals they said came from Telos, from windows in Telos.
Oh.
But they like that love energy. Healing love energy, so they like to fiddle around with clear quartz crystals. So that's what they have, and that's what they had last year. I actually got some at home, but you feel it, and you feel all this love coming out of it. But if you want to make an offering to the Sasquatch, bring some nice clear quartz crystals.
Okay, I will.
Yeah. And if you're looking for a place to buy them, Soul Connections is a wonderful place here in Mount Shasta.
Okay.
And I think they sell them for like $2, a dollar a rock or $2. I mean, they're very reasonable. You can everybody can afford that,
yes.
You know, for the, you know. So anyway.
Okay, I will.
Yeah, you just set it off. Set it out and they will come. And then the thing that I've noticed too is that if you hear if you get a lot of noise from the Sasquatch at night, don't ever be afraid. I mean, they're there and they're friendly and they're not going to harm you at all. You know, they're totally benevolent.
Get out of the truck and go see them.
Well, you can if you want. Sure,
I'll do that.
Sure.
I was a little afraid last night. Yeah.
Yeah, just bring them out and you can ask them if you could take their picture. Much of the time, they don't like pictures being taken,
okay.
But you can ask.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to, the only thing they would say is no. So, yeah, they usually don't show themselves in the third dimension unless they feel completely comfortable with you. Because they know that there are crazy people out there who do hunt them, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, I've heard stories. Yes. It's awful. But,
yeah.
You know.
I've watched those too.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know why anybody would want to shoot one, frankly. I just think it's barbaric. They're another living entity. They're like us,
right.
You know. So why would you want to do something like that? I don't know. I don't understand it.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe they just want to be the first person to do something.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe so. Yeah, and they do like the cinnamon rolls. So, Quinn, I hope tonight that they do find them and they do eat the cinnamon rolls for you. Well, we discovered last year that if they're not, they don't eat them burnt. If they're burnt or if they're full of chemicals or GMO corn or whatever garbage, they won't eat them. They just won't touch them. So they just kind of get a little bit finicky. I don't blame them really. Yeah, I don't blame them. But I think you will be you will be going. You will be seeing them again tonight. Okay. And the reason why you saw the Telosians last night is because they want you to come in with them.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, you do. They do. Yeah, yeah. So, just tell your husband where you're going, so he doesn't freak out in the morning and you're not there. So.
Okay.
You know.
He'll be happy.
Yeah. So you're still around. So he won't have to call the police and file a missing persons report. I don't think their jurisdiction extends to Telos, so, but it would be totally free will on your part.
Yes.
You know, I mean, so.
Yeah. That'll be fun.
Yeah. So the other people that were in this group of people, what did they look like? They looked like normal people? Did they have robes on too? Or?
I couldn't figure that out. I kept trying to see, and I just kept looking, and I just I couldn't figure out what they was wearing or anything.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know how to explain it.
How many people were there total?
I would say I saw like three rows of like 10 people.
Rows of 10 people. My goodness.
Yeah, there was three rows, and because this line just kept going.
Uh-huh.
And then the three guys were standing here, and then the line went this way.
I remember you talking to your husband yesterday, and he said he was really drawn to that area where your camp, and there was an area down below it where he was drawn to go into.
Yeah. And me and the other guy took off, and we were ahead of him. And so he was there by himself, so I don't know what happened when he got there.
Okay.
He didn't say.
Okay. All right. Okay.
I don't know.
All right. Okay. Well, I think you'll have a lot more to tell after tonight. I think you're going to have some incredible experiences. Yeah. Yeah. So what we can do is, if you do have some experiences that my audience should know about, then what I'll do is I'll simply, I'll just record you, and then we'll play it. We'll play it next week.
Okay.
Have you had any other paranormal experiences?
No, I haven't.
Really?
None.
Okay.
Not that I know of.
Okay. All right. Okay. Good. Well, great. Well, thank you so much again for sharing all of that. That's great. Yeah, that's great. Appreciate it so much. I think there's a lot of places, forgive me, around the world where people have these experiences. The thing about Shasta is that the area here itself here already feels like it's in the fourth dimension. So it isn't that much of a stretch for people to have an experience in the fifth dimension with the people of Telos who are already in the fifth dimension, because the vibrations here in this area are already so high that it makes it very easy for people to experience it. That's what I've seen a lot of. Now, tonight we'll be going driving up to the top of the mountain, and the top of the mountain, we always see lots of UFOs flying in and out of the mountain. I remember once a couple of years ago, we actually saw the orb of Saint Germain, a purple orb, come down and touch everybody. That was pretty amazing, you know. And if you're skeptical, and you're saying, "Well, how can that happen?" Well, it does happen, and the reality here is very different than other parts of the world. It's a fourth and fifth dimensional reality, and when this area shifts into the fifth dimension, by next summer, this will be standard fare. And what I've been told too, the people of Telos will actually be walking around Mount Shasta. They will be walking around. I've been told actually there's already people from Telos here, actually working and actually having families too. Some have intermarried in. I've heard stories where people have intermarried, and they're here to help. Raise consciousness as best as they can. There was actually one man I met, it was a year ago in August. He was from Telos, and he came up to the library here after I gave him a presentation, and he handed me a whole bag of books, and he said, I'm told to give you these. I said, okay, thank you. And he said, this is the most important one, and it was all the spiritual places in the Andes to go, including Machu Picchu. And how to gain entrance to Telos. I said, I want you to read this. I said, okay, I still got the book. So I have his contact information. I should look him up. But he's a nice man, and I've been told that he is from Telos. Yeah, he is from Telos. Yeah, yeah. So there are people. There was a lady named Sharula, I think her name is, and she had come here back in the late 80s, early 90s, and she was from Telos. Nice lady. I saw a picture of her. A little stocky, blonde haired. Let me see. A little stocky, and she had gotten, but at that time she'd gotten a lot of ridicule for claiming to be from Telos and the Hollow Earth, and she ended up marrying a surface Earthman, who she fell in love with and had kids, and then they got quite a few threats. I think that was back in the early 90s, and she ended up moving to, I think Arizona is the last time I heard where she, either that or New Mexico. I'd have to look her up, but I heard about her, that she had come up to the surface and wanted to help raise consciousness and ran into quite a bit of trouble. But I've been told that there are Telosians now working here in the area in Mount Shasta. I just have to look for them. People that don't fit quite in, right, or their clothes don't look they don't look too earthly, and they're very gentle souls. Anybody you know like that, they're not from around here. And especially if you're in the Shasta area, where a lot of them do come up, you'll see that. So, pretty soon, however, if you do plan a trip to Mount Shasta, you'll have to probably deal with snow. My guides tell me we're probably getting a lot of snow here next month. So the weather now is nice. It's been in the 70s and early 80s Fahrenheit, but that's going to change here, I think, in the next couple of weeks. So it's a good time to be here now, but whenever you plan a trip to Mount Shasta, you always have to remember the weather, because it's no fun here being here when it's frozen everywhere. I remember being at Mount Shasta, must have been a couple of years ago, and it was like, oh gosh, 20 feet of snow on the ground. That's what the reports, and you just can't get anywhere with that kind of weather. So, I mean, you could come still, have an amazing time, but just remember that when it's that much snow, it's hard to get anything done. And it's not, unless you like the snow, but it's I'd rather come here when it's much more much more warmer. One of the things too you can always do when you come is to drive the top of the mountain, and this is good during the summertime when the road's open. In the wintertime, the road will be closed because of the snow. But you can drive up to the very, almost to, oh, you can drive up about, probably about the 9,000 foot level. And you can drive within 5,000 feet of the summit. And just at that level, at night, excuse me, you can always see out for many, many miles. And you always see many, many ships up there. The Palladian ships always look the same. They're like a rectangular series of lights, and they don't look like a star. You look like very distinctive, look like rectangulars. And the brightest one there is usually Admiral Hilarion's ship. You can see his ship, and just send him lots of love and light. The Palladians greet each other by putting their hand over their heart. And they send love to each other. They take their right hand, put it over their heart, and they send love and light to each other doing that. The people of Telos, they put both hands over their heart and send love and light to each other. They always laugh when we do our handshakes, because I don't know if people realize it, but handshakes actually come from 11th century England, where knights would drop their swords and they would shake each other's hands so they wouldn't be a backstabber. They wouldn't stab each other in the back with their sword and kill each other. So that's where our handshake comes from. I mean, that's what, 800-900 years old now, and people don't even think about it twice. But I always thought it's such a beautiful thing to simply put your hand over your heart and nod your head and send love and light to each other. That's such a lovely way to greet each other versus shaking hands, which stems from violence, and you know, that's what it was. You know, that was the only way that the people trusted each other, so that they wouldn't kill each other, to shake their hands, because then you couldn't stab them in the back with your sword. So Anyway, but the Pleiadians do like that. If you do come into Mount Shasta and you want to do some prayers and meditation, put your right hand over your put both hands over your heart when you do meditation. And also, the thing that they don't like people to do is to eat meat before they come. It's better if you don't. I know people like meat. If you do eat meat, be sure to bless your animal that you're eating, so that there's no negativity involved with eating them, especially the chicken or the beef or whatever. The Salosians have a real aversion to people who eat meat. They say that it's lowers vibration. There's a lot of negativity, so they can't they don't like being around people who do eat meat. So they're pretty particular about that, actually. And I know that if you do come to Shasta, you'll have an amazing experience. I would say most everybody who's been coming now has been experiencing many miracle healings on the trip. And I've never seen so many miracle healings as I have. Every trip that I take here, we always have at least one and often many more miracle healings of people that have been sick for a long time, sometimes decades, and they get healing. Yeah, they get healing. Like for me, as I said, I had a lot of pain in my jaw on the way down here, and now the pain is it's almost gone. It's about 95% gone now. So I'm extremely pleased about that. I've got a bad cold, and I'm still working on that, but I'll ask him tonight for help on that. So there's also places, you know, around the planet too where the entrances to the Hollow Earth exist. I know that some exist in the Himalayas, in northern India and in Tibet as well. Shambhala itself, I'm told, is beneath Tibet, in that area. So that if you want to visit that area, that's another opportunity. Of course, the Chinese government is very repressive with people, but at least here in the United States, we do have the freedom to come here and visit and not have to worry about, you know, getting harassed. Of all the places that I know, Mount Shasta is one of the most accessible places on the planet to come and experience, a place where you can meet people from another civilization. I don't know if people know that the history of Telos and Lemuria, but it existed up until about 12,500 years ago, when there was a war instigated by the Atlanteans. They used crystalline and nuclear technology to try to control the planet. they failed, but they ended up destroying much of the planet. They destroyed Lemuria, which was a fifth-dimensional civilization off the coast of California and Washington and Oregon and Canada. And what happened is that after they destroyed much of the planet, the former landmass of Lemuria drifted into the west coast of the United States. And so from Mount Shasta north all the way to Vancouver Island in Canada, that has that energy of Lemuria. And that's why people don't realize it, but there's a whole bunch of psychics and spiritual people who've gravitated to this part of North America over the years. And that's why you find a lot of spiritual people here, a lot of spiritual events going on. Unfortunately, that energy sort of drops off after you head south of Mount Shasta. By the time you get to Sacramento, it's gone pretty much. I mean, Sacramento's a nice town, but it doesn't have the same kind of spiritual energy that you find here in the Shasta area. So, that's what I've been told anyway by my Telosian friends. When the Atlanteans blew up much of the planet 12,500 years ago, about 25,000 people were able to escape Lemuria, and they went into these caverns, these caves and caverns beneath Mount Shasta, where they brought all of their technology intact, and they were able to reestablish their civilization. And today they number about 1.3 million people. They have a city down there called the City of Telos. Adama is the high priest of Telos. They also have a shuttle system that goes from Mount Shasta to Machu Picchu. It also goes over to Shambhala over in the Tibetan area. They also have another a shuttle system that links these different places with the ancient Library of Alexandria, which does exist, by the way, they tell me, in the fifth dimension, beneath the Aegean Sea, underneath Greece. And Diane Robbins talks about that a lot in her books too, her beautiful books. But at any rate, there is that library there. I've been there to the library myself many times. I've also been to Telos many times as well. I have not yet been to Shambhala. I haven't asked yet, but perhaps I'll ask sometime soon. I know it's an amazing place. It's another fifth-dimensional city that does exist beneath Tibet. But you can go a lot of places in the astral plane, and it's easy to go there from here. I had a group of Koreans actually in September 2016 who physically went into Telos, and they went into Telos as well as physically to Shambhala, the ancient city beneath Tibet on the other side of the planet. And they came out after, I think, about 7 or 8 hours, remember now. And they had two little children with them. The two little kids didn't like being in the fifth dimension. They were freaking out, so they came back early. They would have stayed longer. We dropped them off about 9, 10 o'clock in the morning at the entrance to Telos, and they came out about 5 o'clock. And if you go to my website at www.outofthisworld1150.com and look up past guests for September 2016, you'll be able to listen to the interviews that I did do with them during that time. So, anyway, I hope you enjoy that interview. It's still there, and it'll give you an idea of what it's like to go in physically into Telos and the Hollow Earth. During my next hour, I'll be talking about my upcoming trips to Peru, and as well as bringing QAnon at about 3:15 p.m. Pacific time. So I hope you've enjoyed this segment on Mount Shasta. It's been an amazing place. We're going to go up to do some prayers and meditation now up at Ascension Rock, which is the main entrance, the main rock into Telos and the Hollow Earth. And I hope you can all come with me someday. It's an amazing place, and the people here are always very pleasant. Mount Shasta is one of my favorite cities on planet Earth, and it's always a chance to meet somebody here from Telos as well. I've been into many people actually from Telos here at Mount Shasta, and I hope someday you can all come. Eric, let's play the water song now to fill out the rest of the hour. And then please stay tuned. We'll be coming back right at the top of the hour in about, 5 or 6 minutes or so.